Time for a Sting Gang podcast. Time to talk about Midwestern State basketball and lots to talk about with head coach Justin Leslie. Thanks for being with us on the podcast. A reminder, Midwestern State's got two big home games coming up this week. Thursday night, Permian Basin will be here. That's a scheduled 7:30 start. And then Angelo State is here on Saturday afternoon for a game that's scheduled to start at 3. Remember, it follows the women's game. So make your way out to D.L. Ligon Coliseum. It's going to be a big weekend of basketball Thursday and Saturday. Midwestern State making one of the more rigorous road trips of the year, having to go out and play the newcomer, Sol Ross, out in Alpine, and then go out to western New Mexico. But you got the elusive sweep on the road this week.
Yeah, it was a challenging road trip. It was long. I hadn't experienced one quite like it, to be honest with you. It was tough. However, anytime you can get away with two Lone Star Conference wins, you'll deal with whatever else comes with it.
Let's start with the Sol Ross game, because you came out with your hair on fire, jumped out to a 9-0 lead, hit some three-pointers. Reggie Hill hit a couple of three-pointers early, and then you never looked back. I mean, I'm not saying it's the best game you've played all year, but you took care of business.
No, you're exactly right. We were ready to go from the jump, and we got them down. And, you know, to their credit, I thought they played really well. I thought they played a very good game. They easily could have rolled over and let us beat them by, you know, 30 or
right.
Whatnot. But they kept fighting. They made us work for, you know, quality possessions. And, you know, at the end of the day, our defense carried us through as it has been all season. And, you know, we were able to get through with a very, very good win.
Well, and defense certainly carried you through in the game against Western New Mexico. You hold them like 27% shooting. You hold them below 50 points. I know it was a close game in the first half, but you just dominate the final 20 minutes of that game.
Yeah, it was an interesting game. You know, it's kind of funny. We get the memos from like the national head of officials, and they talk about, you know, cleaning up post play and freedom of movement and hand checking and yada yada yada. And I'll say that, I mean, it was comical that it came out on Monday, but you know, in our games, it's been very physical. In Western New Mexico, they are big, they are strong, and they came out just with a very, very physical mindset on the defensive end, not just in our game, but also on their Thursday contest against Lubbock Christian. So I was prepared for it to a certain degree. However, we had a hard time puncturing their shell in the first half. They did a really nice job of just, you know, closing gaps, you know, putting bodies and hands on us when we tried to get in there. And, you know, I told the guys, I think it was at the under four media timeout. I think they had 20 points or something like that. There's a little over 3 minutes left at that time. And the guys were a little bit frustrated. And I'm like, fellas, relax. Just play basketball. No team's going to beat you scoring 20 points and a half, right? Like, we're going to find our way. Some shots are going to start falling. We can sustain this defense. I don't think they can. And we finished, got the lead at halftime, and then we made our first couple shots to start the second half, and then the floodgates just opened, and we just continued to defend at a very high level.
You know, that's kind of become a trend for your team, where you get off to a good start in the second half and you're able to pull away from teams.
Well, the way we play is unique. Not a lot of other teams play a defensive style like us. And so I think, you know, the common knowledge in, you know, with zones are, you know, you go out and bust somebody out of a zone when they call it, well, we can sustain it. I mean, really, you've only got so many things that you can do against it. And once you've kind of showed us your hand, so to speak, the adjustments aren't that complicated for us. You know, from a scheme perspective, really, it's just going to come down to players making plays. And, you know, man to man, we've got a lot of tough, physical, strong, athletic players that can dig their heels in and get a stop when it just breaks down to you versus me. And I think that is really what I think establishes that mindset that allows us to kind of break some of these other teams. And then once a few shots go, it's just the momentum. It just starts rolling downhill.
Is that something that you've developed since you brought these guys in, or when you're recruiting, is that something you're looking for?
No, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I had no idea that this team would be this good defensively. When we were recruiting, you know, we talked at the beginning of the year. We did need to get bigger, specifically on the perimeter. That was one of the goals that we really set out on in recruiting. And then the other one was that we needed to improve our shooting. And those were like the main things that we were looking to address in the recruiting class. Well, one of the things that I didn't realize was how beneficial are the bigger wings and guards are on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, we're really able to close lanes down and keep teams in front of us. And it's been something that kind of just started happening as we, you know, like every coach, you're going to go work on your offensive scheme. You're going to work on your defensive scheme. But, you know, as we got about a month into the season, you start seeing teams just really struggle to find their footing offensively. You know, a team that is really good on film going into it, struggle against us. And then you see them be good afterwards. And then you start wondering, like, was it just a one-off against us? Or was that us? And the farther we're getting into the season, we started to realize, like, no, it's us. We're hard to score on. And now the challenge over the course of this last, you know, 2-3 weeks has been getting the team to realize that this is our ticket. All right. I would love nothing more than to go. I mean, we lead the Lone Star in 3-point shooting. You know, we make more than anybody else. Hey, it's great. But, you know, I'd love to go out and just score 90 points, let them fly. But that's not how we're going to win. We're going to win by defending and just making teams really uncomfortable. And I think that's starting to really sink in, and guys are starting to see that this is our opportunity to win meaningful games in the month of March. And so we're leaning in.
Well, and that's kind of where I was headed with the question, because it's easy for guys to be excited about making baskets and playing offensive basketball. But a lot of times guys, you know, defense is a necessary evil. It's not something they really embrace necessarily. But your guys really have taken to it, and they seem to enjoy playing on that end of the court as much as they do when they have the ball.
No, you're exactly right. And what's kind of funny, you know that I talk a lot about analytics, and we do a lot with the team, specifically on the offensive side of the ball early on, like getting them to understand what efficient offense looks like, to stay within their strengths and to, you know, minimize their weaknesses. But what's actually happened is we've gone through the year, and like on our scouts, the guys are really starting to identify with other teams and then with other individuals that we're playing against what their efficient spots are and where they're inefficient, and realizing like we're willing to give up certain looks while other ones we're going to fight like crazy to take away. And I think that understanding has really improved our defensive decision-making. And, you know, it's defense travels. They're starting to see that. I mean, that's our ticket. When we go on the road, shooting has been a little bit inconsistent. But at the end of the day, going out there and not allowing another team to score, it messes with their head, and it puts them in a really difficult situation.
You know, I know you said when you travel it's been a little inconsistent, but I think one of the things that's impressed me most is really just how consistent your offense has been. I mean, there have been kind of these one-off games, but you talked about the three-point shooting, and that's not a case of you shot 68% in one game and 20% in the next. You're pretty much consistently putting up the same numbers night in and night out.
Yeah, I'll give the team a lot of credit, and my staff as well. They work hard at it. You know, we still get our reps in throughout the year. I'm just a firm believer in the fact that confidence comes from preparation, and you can't cheat the process. So making sure that they're continuing to get their reps in, you know, we'll, like right now, this time of year, you kind of lighten off on the go, you know, pound each other physically in practice type of days.
It's going to happen enough on Thursday and Saturday.
Well, that's it. You know, well, and here's another thing, and another indicator of that fact is that when this team plays live in practice, they beat the snot out of each other. They are just extremely. So, I mean, we have to back things off and cut segments short a lot because, I mean, that's how they play. I mean, they're physical. They compete to win. And there's just kind of a reckless abandon when it comes to taking care of their bodies out there. I'm like, well, easy, boys. We got a game coming
right
up here. But that's how they're playing.
But it also makes you well-suited for the Lone Star Conference.
That's exactly right. Being stronger, being more physical, it matters in this league. This always has been. It's a grown man's league. This isn't for the faint of heart.
Well, I'm going to steal that line from you.
Well, it is. I mean, I was told that before I came out here because I was, you know, the teams that I had previous to coming to Midwestern State were usually your very skilled offensive teams that, you know, we would have like maybe two or three kind of tough, strong guys on the team. But that was never really the MO of my rosters. And now you look across you know, our bench or, you know, our sideline, you know, during a game, and you just see a lot of very strong, developed, you know, young men that are prepared to go out there and bang with anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my first exposure to the Lone Star Conference was, I'm going to age myself, was in the mid 80s. It was that way then, and it hasn't really changed. It's still a very physical league. Can you attach a reason for that? Is it regional? Is it just a style begats a style?
I'll be perfectly honest. I don't know. I've kind of asked that as well. Is it just because of where we recruit or the types of players that coaches in the league have an eye for? I really don't know, but I do think that the Lone Star has distinguished itself over the years as one of, if not the most physical conference in Division II basketball. We don't always have the best offensive numbers. I mean, that was something as an outsider looking in before I got here. I always like, oh, well, it's, I mean, they're not very good shooters. They're not very skilled. They'll turn the ball over or whatever it may be.
Or they're pedestrian.
Sure. You just, and then, you know, I had the opportunity to play against some Lone Star teams and realize like, no, it's hard to score when you're going against bodies that are that physical, that are relentless, that, you know, referee calls a foul. Well, they're not going to stop all of a sudden being who they are. it's different, but I love it. We're embracing it, leaning into it, and trying to establish ourselves as, you know, maybe one of the most physical of the bunch.
And we got a couple of games that are probably going to be played that way this week. You got Permian Basin coming in on Thursday, Angelo State on Saturday. Let's talk about Permian Basin. That still stands out as one of the huge wins of the year, the way you came back at Permian Basin. I know you want to get off to a better start this time around.
Yeah, we can't get in the habit of spotting people 20 points. There's no doubt about that. They're just a really good team. Their pieces fit. They don't go particularly deep in their bench, but of the players that are in their rotation, they've played a lot of minutes. They're very good basketball players that, you know, have well-defined roles and play off of each other well. I think that's probably their greatest strength is they're very good about getting the ball where it needs to get to at the right time. And they've got some explosive scoring. And so for us, you know, we need to be prepared to come out and just have a much greater energy on the defensive end. I think that was the biggest letdown when we were there. We allowed them to throw the first punch. They got us down 33-13 in the first half. And then it kind of flipped a switch. Like, no, it's time to guard. It's time to go up and be active, be aggressive. And I think that's something that we need to do more from the jump, being at home. I think certainly
that'll help, right?
Yeah, it always does. It always does.
Second game of this homestand is Angelo State, and the Janelle Center has always been a tough place for Midwestern State to play, but you've played them better here at D.L. Ligon Coliseum.
Oh yeah, there's no question. I mean, we've certainly had a lot of success here against Angelo, and I think part of that is it's one of those old Lone Star rivalries that I think lends itself to just a quality game. You know, two teams that really get after it defensively are very physical, but we'll see. We got ourselves down 14 at their place before, you know, battling back and closing it down, had a shot to win it there at the end and couldn't come through. But our guys will be, they'll be ready for the challenge here this week, knowing, you know, really what's on the line for us. This is just a big opportunity that we need to hold court in front of our home fans this weekend.
This is a big weekend just in terms of trying to get the best seating possible. Thursday night, you can basically put Permian Basin in your rearview mirror if you can find a way to beat the Falcons.
Yeah, you're right. We're two games ahead of them in the standings. And if we you know, get the sweep that essentially puts us four games ahead of them.
Right.
You know, just if we end up with a, you know, were to tie somehow, you know, having that tiebreaker on them. But we're at that stage of the season where you can start seeing the end and some of the implications for these games. We want to be playing, you know, well into March. That's a goal for this team, and we know our best basketball is in front of us. But the only way to put ourselves in the best possible position is to go out and be our best on Thursday night against UTPB.
Is it? Do you talk about the big picture with the team? Are they how much do you want them to be aware of all of the permutations that go in terms?
Well, what I want them to be aware that they need to know what's on the line. Yeah, right. We walk through, you know, the calculation of the performance indicator, the RPI, in region win percentage, D2 win percentage, you know, all these things. Like we post it in the locker room since the opening weekend. It's been there every week. That gets up in the locker room on the bulletin board. They get to see kind of where we're at, and just so they understand how the process works, right? But the way to prepare for that eventuality is by being great where you are today, by focusing on on today, being grounded, knowing that what you do today matters in the big picture. Not to get so caught up in that, but so many, I think a common mistake that teams make is, and players, and then it kind of seeps over into the team is, well, we'll turn it on when, or we'll be ready at that time. No. That's a mindset that's going to get you caught up. So being great and being present and embracing every step along the way, I think is the proper way to handle it. You can't stick your head in the sand and just, you know, we're not talking like, well, no, like you need to, players need to know how postseason qualification works. Like, for example, there's a national poll that comes out every Tuesday and we've been just outside of it and the others receiving votes. But then you go look at the performance indicators, the RPI, the D2 win percentage, all the things that factor in to qualifying for the NCAA tournament, we're qualifying. The poll means nothing. It's a popularity contest.
That's exactly right.
Now, don't get me wrong. We would love to be in there. Okay. And do I think there should have been some times where maybe we got we cracked in it? Sure. But I'm not going to lose any sleep over it because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter for NCAA qualification. And I think the players need to know that. We're not trying to win. They tease me being old all the time for my social media comments, but, you know, we're not trying to win a Twitter or Instagram popularity contest. And no, we're going to go out, we're going to play it on the floor and let the chips fall where they may.
What's an area where you still want to see the team improve?
Well, I think our transition is an area where I tell the team, you know, we're not bad. We're horrendous. So I tell them all the time, like, hey, this is a great opportunity of some low-hanging fruit that we can address just with a little bit of improved decision-making. And then beyond that, I think in the half court, we can still put some more pressure on the rim and get to the free throw line a little more. And I think if we do those two things, you know, we're going to put ourselves in a great position moving forward.
Coming down the stretch, are you as healthy as possible?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've certainly had some injuries and some, you know, aches and pains that we're managing. But for the most part, I think that, both our athletic trainers as well as our strength and conditioning coach have done a great job of just keeping the guys available. I always joke, the greatest ability is availability. That's been something that I think has really lent itself to our continued growth and development. And so, you know, knock on wood, we keep that same pattern moving forward.
And this time of year, you're always worried about the flu or viruses going around.
Well, let me tell you, that has ravaged us. The last 3 weeks, we've had players missing practice. We had guys sick last week during the games. That's something I know hasn't just hit us. It's hit other teams as well, and it has been a challenge.
Yeah, it's kind of an annual thing in college basketball.
And it's been bad. It really has. I think we've hit everybody on the team now. We had our last two guys. We were going through it this weekend,
yeah.
You know, and being on that long road trip certainly didn't help. Not able to get as much sleep, you know, sleeping on a bus for the 12-hour bus ride home from Western New Mexico didn't help. But, you know, we're managing.
Well, it's been so much fun, and we're coming down to the really fun time of the year now, and the stretch run really begins Thursday with UT Permian Basin coming in here. Angelo State's in here on Saturday. Let's get as many people in at D.L. Ligon Coliseum as we can to support the Mustangs. Justin, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time as always. And be sure you tell your friends about the podcast, and be sure to bring your buddies out to D.L. Ligon Coliseum this week to watch the Mustangs. I'm Pete Stein. So long.